Hello, friends, and welcome to this week's episode of Grits in the Gospel. My name is Katie Griffiths, and I am so excited to have you here with me this week. A couple things about this episode. This episode is actually the last sermon that I will be preaching at my first appointment, Bethlehem United Methodist Church. I am taking a couple of Sundays off before I start my new appointment January 5th. So there will not be any content on the 22nd or the 29th of December as I take a break. But there will be a short reading on the 24th on Christmas Eve. And so I hope that that will be a blessing to anyone that hears it. We are currently in the third week of Advent. This is the Joy Week. I hope that you are visiting or a part of a church that is lighting Advent candles every week and that you find joy in the services that you are attending. And I appreciate that you are coming here with me each week to worship as well. Let us come together now in a posture and a time of worship. The Lord be with you and also with you. This week's epistle lesson is from Philippians. Philippians 1, 3-11 speaks of the hopes that Paul has for the church where he previously served. It is his charge to them as they move forward and grow in faith. I thank my God for every remembrance of you, always in every one of my prayers for all of you, praying with joy for your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work in you will continue to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to think this way about all of you, because I hold you in my heart. For all of you are my partners in God's grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I long for all of you with the tender affection of Jesus Christ. And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight, to help you to determine what really matters, so that in the day of Christ, you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Christ, through Jesus Christ, for the glory and praise of God. So ends the first reading. Friends, let us come together now and recite those words that are the tenets of our faith. Friends, what do we believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray together. Dear Lord, we come to you this third Sunday of Advent full of joy, full of promise, and full of hope. We are excited about the season we are in and of the beautiful morning of Christmas that is yet to come. Prepare our hearts as we worship today. And hear now the words that your Son, the Christ child, who grew into our Savior, taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Today's gospel lesson is a continuation of the story of John the Baptist preparing the way for Jesus. It's in Luke chapter 3, verses 7 through 18. Hear now the word of the Lord according to Luke. John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now, the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire." The crowds asked him, "What then should we do?" In reply, he said to them, "Whoever has two coats must share one with another, would share with one another who has none, and whoever has food must do likewise." Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked him, "Teacher, what shall we do?" And he said to them, "Collect no more than the amount prescribed for you." Soldiers also asked him, "And we, what should we do?" And he said to them, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusation, and be satisfied with your wages." As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioned in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but none who is more one that is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the strap of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? As I come today trying to bear good fruit, righteous fruit for the kingdom, help the words that I have been given help others bear fruit as well. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. If you suddenly and unexpectedly feel joy, don't hesitate. Give in to it. There are plenty of lives and whole towns destroyed or about to be. We are not wise and not very often kind. And much can never be redeemed. Still, life has some possibility left. Perhaps this is its way of fighting back. That sometimes something happens better than all the riches or power in the world. It could be anything, but very likely you notice it in the instant when love begins. Anyway, it's often the case. Anyway, whatever it is, don't be afraid of its plenty. Joy is not made to be a crumb. Mary Oliver's poem, "Don't Hesitate," is one of my favorites. It seems the perfect pairing for this third Sunday of Advent when we light the candle of joy. It speaks of the time we find ourselves in. Life can be hard at the holidays, and the holidays can make it even harder. The politics of the world don't help. It has seemed like we're doing our best not to lift each other up, but to destroy ourselves. So when we see things that bring us joy, we cannot hesitate to proclaim and celebrate them. Life indeed does have possibility. We just have to focus on that as we move through the world. It is that possibility we see John the Baptist preaching about in Luke. As he prepares the world for the ministry of Jesus, he reminds people what their focus should be. Bear fruit, he tells the crowds, fruit worthy of repentance. What should we do? They ask him more than once. What does it look like to bear fruit? First, he tells the crowd to give away their excesses. If you have two coats, give one away. If you have plenty of food, give that away too. Then, in a moment of literary genius on the part of the author, he then moves to the two groups of people who are not very well liked and calls them to task. Groups that will one day persecute Jesus. Groups that one day Jesus will use as an example to be friends with despite their job. To the tax collectors, he tells them to keep their hands out of the till and only collect what is actually owed. He says to the soldiers, don't abuse your power and extort money from people and threaten to throw people in jail. How do you think that went over? My favorite verse is 15. As the people were filled with expectation and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John whether he might be the Messiah. I would have been wondering the same thing. Who is this guy? He's standing up to all of the bad people and telling them exactly what to do and how to act. Surely this guy is the one who has come to save us. But in their hesitation and questioning, they don't see the bigger picture. They're focused on their own issues that need solving. So they don't see that the one that was coming to baptize them in the Spirit and fire was coming to purify not just their towns, but their hearts. A Messiah that will call on them to bear fruit and to scatter words like seeds all around them. A Messiah that would stand on a mountain and give them the gift of the Beatitudes. A Messiah that would show them how to help the less fortunate and care for those in need. A Messiah that would feed the hungry and teach the parables. When we see opportunities in life to do those very things that Jesus modeled for us, we cannot hesitate. We cannot stop and consider the downside or ponder whether we can really do the thing that needs fulfilling. We are called to seize the moment and take those crumbs of joy and turn them into something beautiful. The fruits of our faith should be the way we treat others and the joy we spread in the name of Jesus. It is easy to look around and be discouraged. It is easy to look at the empty seats and lose hope and joy. Have full faith and confidence that the Lord can bring forth opportunities that will help you bear fruit. It will take faith and courage, but I have no doubts at all that you possess both. The key is that you have to believe it for yourselves. When you hesitate, it is a manifestation of your unbelief. So don't hesitate. Have courage. Show the strength of spirit that I am sure you have. It is the call that Joshua gives to the people of Israel after the death of Moses. He uses the word strength and courage three times in the first 9 verses. Just like Jesus tells the disciples after his death, Joshua promises the Lord will not forsake them. They just have to have courage. That courage was needed when the Israelites lost their beloved leader and when the disciples lost their inspiration and their leader. Fortunately for us, None of us are losing our leader. We can all have strength and courage because our Savior has never left us, and He never will. In Joshua 1:9, He reminds them once more when He tells them, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. The Lord is with you. Do not be discouraged. He will never leave you. He will bring you joy." In Paul's letter to the Philippians, we see this call to service again very clearly. His prayer for the people of Philippi is the same one I have for you. And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you to determine what really matters, so that in the day of Christ, you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. Love until it overflows, so that you can see for yourselves and show to others what really matters. Produce a full and abundant harvest of fruit to the glory of God. All of the good work that we have been able to do together in the name of Jesus is just the beginning. For almost 200 years, this church has spread joy and produced fruit. The good works that you have done will be multiplied going forward, but you cannot. Hear me, friends, you cannot hesitate. When the moments of service and the opportunities to do good work come in front of you, the world is hurting around you too much to pass even one of them by. Throw open the doors of the church and welcome people who need the fruit you have to give. Do not hesitate, not even once. Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, and all the ways you can, and all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. This may or may not have been the exact words that John Wesley used in a sermon, but they are the best summation of the call that United Methodists have to service. It is the call that John the Baptist had for the crowds of people, the tax collectors, and the soldiers to bear fruit. It is the call of Joshua to be strong and courageous. It is the call of Paul that Paul gave to the people of Philippi to love and harvest. It is the call that Jesus gave to love God and love your neighbor. It is the joy that we are looking to find for ourselves this Advent season and spread to all those around us, like the light of the candles in the Advent wreath. We are celebrating in this Advent season new birth. We have been preparing our hearts for the birth of the Savior. It was a new salvation and a new way to faith for the people of the ancient days. It is a way to renew our faith and have a new birth for ourselves as well. It is a time for new beginnings. We are all starting on a new journey. Mary was about to take a journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem to start their new family. I'm on a journey to a new appointment. You, dear friends of Bethlehem United Methodist Church, are at the beginning of a beautiful new journey with a new minister and another 200 years of service ahead of you. If you suddenly and unexpectedly feel joy, don't hesitate. Give in to it. That is my challenge of you. Do not hesitate to love and give until you think you cannot carry any more fruit. Do not hesitate to welcome people that need the gospel with open arms, and do not hesitate to find new and exciting ways to spread joy throughout the community. Have courage, my friends, because I will always hold you in my heart. Give in to the joy. Share the love. Find the hope. Bring about peace. I thank my God for every remembrance of you. always in every one of my prayers for all of you, praying with joy for your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Amen. As you go throughout the rest of this Advent season, it is my hope for you as well that you can find love, joy, peace, and hope, and ultimately, salvation through the Christ child that was born this Christmas. Because in life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.